Hello and welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom show. I'm your host, Yvonne E.L. Silver. The show is all about tapping into interesting ladies and interviewing women who have gone from some sort of tragedy to triumph, a moment in time of chaos, and now risen to confidence. And I'm delighted to have my beautiful guest today, Adora. Now, I'm not going to try to pronounce your last name because I'm probably going to mess it up. And this is live radio. So, Adora, how do you pronounce your last name correctly?
The correct pronunciation of my last name is Wolfor. And it's not a one or two or three times name that you're going to get. So I encourage people to practice as much as they can, mess it up as many times as you want, because that's how we get to the other side. If you cut your tongue, unfortunately, I don't have insurance for that. So be careful with yourself.
All right. Well, thank you for the correct pronunciation. I had the pleasure of listening to Adora speak recently at a Business and Professional Women's Club event. I was also at the Canadian Business Checks International Women's Day event last year, where Adora also spoke. And I know her to be a bold and feisty soul. She was the lady who had the guts to start the Calgary Women's March. And I'll let you talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And last year, it attracted over 5,000 people. So you're stirring things up. You are also a comedian, a keynote speaker. I noticed on your Instagram page, you also mention, you know, confidence coaching, which is, you know, my specialty as well. So we're going to have a great conversation today. And yes, I really want to showcase the interesting elements of how you've evolved to being the bold, dynamic lady that you are. And you're very tall as well.
I am. Thank you for making that the last thing, because usually it's the first thing that people notice or discuss. And I'm always open to discussing it. But Yeah, there's so many other things about me, and that is it seems like an impressive list to me now that I'm hearing somebody else say it.
Well, I think you've also been hosting events such as the Folk Fest, CaraWest, FemWave, as well as your role as the Grand Marshal for the March for Women.
Right.
Culture Days, UFC, Keynote for Diversity Days, your comedy. It's a long, long list. And certainly, as you say, you know, one of the first things when people meet you in person that they obviously cannot ignore is your very bold presence. And the fact that you're over 6 foot tall, that in itself, I'm sure, has created some interesting moments. So tell me a little bit about your story. How did you get started with some of these big projects?
To be honest, I was just a wallflower. I was really just watching the world go on about around me. And I was having a lot of interaction with people because I'm tall, because I stand out. And living in Calgary, very often I'm a new experience for people in many ways. So I truly didn't make a super specific plan and say that these are the things that I want to do. But I wanted to know who I was. So that is really the foundation of everything that I've done, was in an effort to get to know myself better and to grow and become a better person and be able to have better relationships in my life. So it's very interesting that I actually bring that up, because I was bullied a lot in my youth growing up in Calgary. I was bullied for being tall. People thought I was a boy. because I was the only Black kid often. I was a nerd, so I asked my parents to put me into French immersion in grade 7. You know, that's not usually what kids are looking to do. So it just so happens that things were happening in my life and I didn't like it, and I wanted to do something about it. I didn't really know that I would be affecting anything else. It's part of my natural personality to question things. I also think, you know, being raised in Calgary as a Nigerian Jamaican, which, you know, I have African connections and I have Caribbean connections, and sometimes those are exactly the same and sometimes they're totally different. And then, you know, being born and raised in the West, you know, I have yet another view of Blackness. So I was constantly questioning myself and things, and people were not always kind to me. My best friend from when I was 15, I bumped into them recently by accident, had no idea I was going to see them, and they apologized to me for how they had treated me. And they said the reason they did that in that moment is because I had always been so kind to them. Like, they used the words, they were horrific to me. So it has always been my mission to try and be a good person. It doesn't always work out like that, but that's really how I got to many of these things. I said, I will help you. Mm-hmm. I said, I want to see something different. So, for instance, I talk about wanting to play football. I was mad in high school. You know, I have a lot of sexual abuse issues. And experiences. So I wanted to fight boys, but you couldn't just fight boys because then they wouldn't like you. Look at that. Look at how that works. So I remember saying, okay, I'm going to play football because I see boys being aggressive and they're allowed to be aggressive on the football field. So I wanted to do that. They wouldn't let me. I was bigger than all the boys. That was, I think, grade 11. By grade 11, I was certainly, oh no, I'm lying, grade 12. I'm certainly bigger than all the boys.
And so when did you sprout up, Adora? Because I certainly remember at 12 being, you know, 5'6". So I thought, yeah, that was tall.
I was by 12 I was 5'8". I was always tall. Always. There's no time that I had not been the biggest kid. Or one of the biggest kids. Me and Patty H, in our grade 6 graduation photos, were wearing women's dresses and as big, if not bigger, than the teacher.
Mm. So how did you embrace your height? Because, you know, what you're describing with challenges with you know, not being embraced as a girl, people thinking that you were a boy because of, you know, your height. How did you cope with all that as you were going through school? Do you have any pearls of wisdom on the bullying side to share? Yeah.
Like, you know, there weren't even clothes for kids like me. You know, I was in adult women clothing. So it was a hard transition. Even as an adult now, I spoke to an online retailer, excuse me, and I was like, excuse me, something's wrong with your stuff. And they responded to me, and I would say that resilience is key, and I think it's horrific that I have to say that. However, that's the fact of life. The fact of life is that bad things will happen, and you must adjust. So the way that I adjusted was that I made sure that my integrity was number one key. So when people said bad things to me, or I knew that my behavior was not the problem, it's really hard to do because people will consistently tell you something different, even if it's not true. I would say number one, get yourself an advocate. Get someone who understands what you're going through, because there's lots of people out there who will understand what you're going through. The number two thing I would say is that you don't owe anybody understanding, and nobody owes you understanding. Mm. So we all have our unique experiences in this world, and we are not going to understand everybody's experiences. For instance, I'm a seeing person, but I wear contacts and glasses, because I'm almost legally blind. Mm. And if I did not have the experience of not being able to see a lot, I don't know what it's like to be blind, but I have an understanding of that. Before my eyesight started to deteriorate, I probably had no idea. Mm. So, it's nice to empathize and try and understand, but it doesn't always happen, and it's not always our fault. It doesn't always make the person bad. It doesn't always make us bad. But really, the point is to just see that somebody's in pain and be able to try and reach out and help them. So those things really helped me in my journey. Once I understood that I was a good person and my exterior, yes, it had some influence on what was going on in the world around me. But once I understood that I was a good person and I could manipulate my exterior, I did so. I wore heels because heels make me look good, even though I'm big and that's not, quote unquote, okay. But for me, I love that myself, and myself happens to be tall. So that's what I'm going to put forward. Like, hey, this is what I got. It's beautiful. Even if it's not okay, I'm allowed to love it and I should love it. And it gets me a lot of places and a lot of things. Number one, I always see over top of everybody. You think you're doing something. I find people in a crowd always. Number two, people always find me in a crowd.
Yeah. When I booked this interview, you hadn't shared at that point about the some of the other elements, the sexual abuse pieces, for example.
Oh, yeah.
And yet I'm thinking about the height that you have now, and wondering how anybody had the balls to actually go after you in that fashion. That blows my mind.
A wonderful little drug called Rohypnol. So I'm building up an immunity to that shit. Sorry, that stuff. It's a joke that I do for Rape is Real and Everywhere. It's a comedy show that I've been a part of. Because the only people who should joke about rape are rape survivors. So I'm a rape survivor, so I do this show. Because rape is not really funny. But for real, I've had more than one instance with the date rape judge. Or another wonderful way that people get at me is that it's more than one person. So it will be many people that manipulate a situation to make me unsafe. Yeah.
That's pretty intense. And yet at the same time, I think that, as I'm evolving as a person as well, and there are more and more people that are listening to this show, watching some of the work that I'm doing, the public acknowledgement of, winning a Woman of Inspiration Award last September for my mentorship work, which was lovely. Thank you. Which was lovely. And then also, launching my book, that all adds to the public profile. And there's always somebody somewhere that doesn't like what you're doing and tries to, you know, pull it apart or, you know, get you involved in stuff that you don't want to be doing, or spamming, and, you know, had a spamming, scamming issue going on in January. And I think that was from, you know, someone in public notoriety that was not agreeing with the expansion that I was doing. So let's just take a short break for a moment, because that was some pretty intense stuff. So just, yeah, let's just breathe for a moment here.
Sounds good.
Go to break. When you're standing on stage as a comedian, that is something that, you know, I've personally experienced some of your jokes and snippets in the talks that you've done. So tell me a little bit about how that piece got started. Was that as a result of anything connected with the abuse situations, where you basically said, you know what, I'm going to take something that's really raw and despicable and turn it into something amazing and funny? Or do the two things not even connect?
Like, for me to start doing comedy, it was not that at all. I was not a very young person when the first time I got on a stage, and somebody tricked me into it. I did not think I really had a voice. I was not really empowered to speak. I was not empowered to speak like somebody pay me and, you know, give me this. The only time I was really empowered to speak was on my personal behalf. Or so I was just like, nobody wants me to get on the stage and start yelling at them about, you know, whether they touched my bum or talked about how tall I was. But that's essentially what I'm doing now that I just made that statement. Wow. What happened was, I had a friend who wanted to find out about the comedy world, and my education is anthropology. So I always love to find out about a new life way or new society or group of people. So I, you know, did some research and found a comedy workshop, and it was free, and we went. And after the comedy workshop, they were having an open mic. So I was like, oh, this is even better. Like, I get free comedy and, well, the workshop was a whole bunch of F-words. But basically, I was like, this is great. I'm enjoying myself. And they said, Lori is 1, Trent is 5, 7 is Adora. And I was like, there's no Isadora here. So I had a drink, and 30 minutes later, I was on the stage. And they give you 5 minutes. They put on a light, you know, before you should stop. And they had to turn off the microphone at 7 minutes.
You were in your groove once you got hold of that microphone.
I found my home. And really, it's funny because there were three women sitting in front of me who did not like anything I said, but I heard laughter. And, you know, this part of the resilience that I was talking about earlier is that, like, I could have stopped when those women in front they were not smiling, they were not nice, they were talking. There were some people behind them that I couldn't see, but I could hear their laughter. I could feel their energy, and I wanted that. Mm-hmm. So I kept going. And actually, this year is my 10-year anniversary of when I decided I was going to go and do comedy. So I did comedy that one time. That was in October. I found out I was pregnant just after that. I had twins, so I had a hiatus. And then I needed to get some stuff off my chest. Like, mommy was tired. And I found an open mic and went. And, yeah, here I am 10 years later doing things I truly never thought I would do. I never thought I would be keynote speaker from University of Calgary. Excuse me. I'm speaking at Mount Royal University for their Students Association May 30th. You know, like two universities in 1 year for me. I think that like that's I can say I did something.
The fact that you have the anthropology background and that's your education, which you know that is fairly unusual as well. So clearly, you are an educated woman who's also bringing to the university and college arena what I've seen you described as a dark twist or shock wit
right.
in your comedy. Right. With an important underlying message. And I'm sure that those students will be very lucky to hear you speaking. And as always, when you add a comedic element to it, it just makes things really rock. So
right.
I'm just gonna go to a short break for a moment. You've been working in this arena, working with women, which I want to dig into in a minute, as well as supporting students and talking about resilience. And I also want to just showcase a little bit about the book that I launched last year, which is Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. It launched November 1st. I went to bestseller status on November 2nd, which was super exciting. So, you know, big kudos and thanks to all of the women in particular in my community who helped to get the word out about the book during the launch, and my collaborative friends at the Evolutionary Business Council, which is a global organization with transformational change agents, writers, authors, speakers. So that helped as well, having some of those lovely connections. So let's just play a short clip. It'll be a portion of the video that's actually on my website, which talks more about the book for those who haven't connected with it yet. Here's the clip.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, the New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Thank you. Let's talk a little bit more about how resilience connects to the first Women's March. How did that get started? And why did you choose to be the parade marshal for that?
Right. So resilience is so important because that is what women have been doing to make it to this day since the very beginning. We have always had to be resilient. It doesn't matter which story we are hearing or which history we are being taught or which woman we see in the world. She is being told that she should be small, she should not speak, she should listen to someone else, which is usually a man. And for us to have come this far in the type of world, let's be honest, within patriarchy is all over in the world. And the fact that women have made it this far is only because of resilience. So part of resiliency is getting a large group of people and saying we have strength in numbers. And the Women's March, as it has previously been referred to as, really began because Hillary lost, let's be honest. That's what prompted people to say, hold on, what's wrong? How is it a woman who has so much experience, education, qualifications, and has been in this very close to this seat two times in their lives can't get a chance compared to someone who can only say I'm fired? So a lot of people were very upset that this was the narrative that was being given to ourselves, to our children, to our parents, and grassroots, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 women. That's how many things start. Said, we're going to do this, and it spread like wildfire, and it wasn't happening in Calgary, so 12 of us got together and said, we're going to do this. And it could not have been more than 10 days out. So,
wow.
11th of January, 2017, I was at some meeting, and it's because I'm a part of FemWave, which is a feminist festival, that happens in Calgary in November. This year will be our 5th year. So we are very excited. It happens from November 7th to 11th this year. And we're going to have a great party. But I was involved with a group of women who said, we're going to change stuff for women and give more opportunity for women to be on stage in Calgary in many different ways. And nobody from that group could go to the meeting. So I went to the meeting. And it just so happens that they had seen some of the things that I had done that was on YouTube. And don't go to YouTube. I'm not proud of that stuff. I shouldn't say I'm not proud of that. It's very old. It's very dated. So at the time, sure. But anyways, they were like, okay, like you're totally funny and we love you. And I was like, oh, okay, great. Like, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And then they were like, you're going to host. And that's my strength. And really what we did is we got a whole bunch of women who had many different strengths and points of view. And we all came together and we used those strengths against the world. And look what we created, the whole world in 2017 stopped to say, we're going to listen to women.
Wow.
And, you know, if you look at the pictures, I haven't counted yet. I don't think I'm ever going to. But, you know, they say 5,000. They underestimate us every time. That was 10,000 people easy. We filled up all of Stephen Avenue and in front of City Hall, and we shut down the street, and Olympic Plaza was full. It's the biggest march in Calgary's history, and women in Calgary did that. And it's because we had a person who knew logistics, and we knew a person who knew social media, and we knew a person who was like, we are going to include everybody. That was kind of me. Who were just like, hey, this is how we need to do some things. And we put our expertise together. And to be honest, I was shocked that Calgary did not get a lot of pushback the way that many other cities did. Edmonton is seen as a progressive city. Edmonton still has issues going on. Vancouver had issues. Toronto had issues. So Calgary, the people who are here, I want you to hear me when I say this. Progressive, be louder, be better, because what's going on in our city and in our province is not representative of really the people who should have power here. That's my little, gotta be a little bit controversial, but those are my real feelings, and I'm so proud of what we all came together to do, just trusting each other and understanding that if we make a misstep, we're going to fix it. And truly, that's what it was about. I'm sure there were missteps that we made. Yeah. We have only gotten better. And for me to be, you know, Grand Marshal, I didn't think I was going to lead anything. I thought I was going to go and introduce some people. But
you're so modest.
I truly did. I didn't understand what Grand Marshal meant until I was like there, and they said, okay, in 15 minutes you're going to lead them. And I said, what you mean? And they said, well, yeah, you're hosting, but yeah, you're also going to lead. Heads up.
It's a march. There's movement required. And you had some speakers join you on stage at Olympic Plaza that were also speaking out about various elements that were connected to the march theme, if I recall.
Right. So this year, I decided, okay, it's been 2 years of them surprising me. I'm going to surprise them. And this is when I say that, I mean like the women that I work with and just Calgary in general. So this year, I specifically wanted to ensure that marginalized genders were focused on. So our chanting was mostly about trans women and immigrants and refugees. We marched right across the yellow vests with whatever they were talking about with refugees are welcome here, immigrants are welcome here. Mm-hmm. And I invited all of the marginalized genders and women of color to come up onto the stage. And I said, if these are not the people that we're fighting for, there's no point. Mm-hmm. So our march centers marginalized voices in general. We have trans women, older women, younger women, disabled women, women with non-neurotypical mental illness. We actually, the second year, had a ASL translator come up, and I was so thankful because I never thought of that. You know, like, and I didn't want to be a jerk. I did it because I didn't think about it, and I don't know any better, and now I do, so I got to think about it more often. Mm-hmm. And there was a woman in the audience, you know, who needed that ASL translator and got emotional, and she was right up front. Like, I got to watch this woman finally feel included and feel like what she needs is being taken care of, and that's really all I want to do with my life. I don't know how I'm going to do that. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm trying my best. So I think, you know, how I said, I never thought of having an ASL person, but I think that's why we need to have more conversations. And when somebody says to you, hey, this is what I'm going through, we need to listen, all of us.
Well, I think it's such an important message to share, because you know, when I was doing research for my presentation I did last year for the Fearless Women's Summit in Edmonton, which was on around International Women's Day, you know, 500 women in the audience. At that time, the Statistics Canada records were showing for 2015 that, you know, women were only earning still 81 cents on the dollar for every man was making.
Right.
And those statistics are, you know, obviously they're an average, you know, so the marginalized people are likely to be even lower on that scale, I would expect, in many cases, or they have less opportunity.
Right, but for the scale, it's $1 for white men. So every time you have some sort of marginalization happening, it gets lower and lower and lower. So you can only imagine, you know, the black trans woman who's a single parent and disabled, like, that's 3 cents that they're making.
Yeah.
Which is not truly true, but that's not a real statistic. I'm being facetious. It is 68 cents on the dollar for myself, a black woman.
Wow. Well, it's supposed to be now up to, in 2017, those same stats were recording, it had gone from 81 cents. In a couple of years, it's gone up to 87 cents. So,
right.
You know, it's one However, that is only
for white women?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. I'll be quiet.
This is live interview.
I'm sorry. Recorded.
It's one of the reasons that I wrote the book because, you know, I kept getting women in my coaching practice who are saying, you know, I want to elevate, I want to advance in my career, I want to be, you know, supporting my family more effectively, I want to be earning what I feel I'm worth. How can I be more confident? How can I have more confidence?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this seems like a good spot to just run the second clip for the book video. There's actually three separate clips. So I'm just going to run the second one. And then we'll get into if there's callers that are listening that have something to ask Adora and want to get engaged in the conversation, you can call in at 1-888-627-6008 or go to the BBS radio station live and you can find the number there as well. 1-888-627-6008. So let's run that second clip.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in four different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing.
So that's part of the reason why the book got started. And certainly I don't work currently with any of the marginalized groups in a professional capacity, although I think you are aware my son is a special needs young adult. So, you know, certainly familiar with some of the challenges around employment and, you know, exploring different employment barriers when it comes to his circumstances as well. So,
right.
Yeah.
I really think that the world needs to understand that different doesn't mean bad.
Absolutely not. And you are such a prime candidate to really expand on your pioneering personality because, as you say, you know, you self-describe yourself as being, you know, 6 feet tall. So, you know, a gigantic personality and making comedy out of some of the things that have been hardships in life. And also being a beautiful lady of dark colored skin, you know, you have a lot of attributes there that can really showcase what you can do when you have a powerful mind and how you've been able to turn your assets into brilliant diamonds. And I think you also wrote a book, didn't you? Or you've contributed to a book?
I am a contributor. I Am a Brilliant Woman, Volume 2. It is also, you know, the empowering women movement, and I think that there are so many ways to do it, and I just really wanted people to understand that I was more than comedy. Because a lot of times people are like, you're funny or you're pretty, and then that's it. And I'm much more than that, and I wanted people to understand. And I was struck by a vehicle in 2011, and it really changed my life yet again. And I wanted to document some of those things. So I had to start over in my life. You know, like I said, I had twins. I was a single parent. I've only been a single parent. So I have a 20-year-old and I have 11-year-old twin girls. But when I got pregnant with twins, I had to start all over again. Then 4 years later, I got hit by a car. I had to start all over again. So, you know, sometimes when people don't really understand where you're coming from, or they have no point of reference, let me say, of where you're coming from, it does create a little more of a wall. So I wrote a chapter in the book that really asks, you know, who are you being? Who do you want to be? Who did you decide you were going to be? So we know that you've been told things, you've had experiences. They may have been positive or not positive, but what are you doing with those things? How are you processing them? What are you going to put out into the world? And listen, it doesn't have to be nice all the time. It truly doesn't, because you're human. It shouldn't, the standard should not be perfection. It should be progress. It should be that you're constantly moving towards whatever version of perfection you believe that there is, because you can't get there. Because, you know, we start as babies. It's not perfect because, you know, babies. and by the time you're at the other end, you're basically, you know, but you've degenerated or regenerated into something that, again, you know, that dies. It's, you know, the perfection is really in what you're doing with that journey and how you are giving it to people. I think we get moments of perfection, but it shouldn't be that your whole life is about perfection.
It's so interesting because I think you know, I talk in my book too about the difference of the intention when one word is exchanged for another, depending on what the intention of it was.
Right.
So with perfection, you know, it's certainly a word that I don't know that I use it a whole lot. I tend to use authentic more, and I think that through my you know, public speaking training, you know, Karen McGregor, who has the speaker success program, I mean, she's a big advocate of, you know, standing in your personal integrity and being energetically aligned with your story. And you could pick out of all of the things that you shared, I mean, just being the mother, I say just, let me rephrase that, being the mother of twins alone is worthy of comment. And, you know, to be able, I had a hard enough time with my son, you know, when he was a baby, he was colicky. I can't imagine doing that with twins. And then to layer on top all of these other facets of your life that you've gone through to build up that level of resilience. You know, I'm standing on this end of the microphone, you know, doing a hands down saying, Adora, Adora, you know.
You know, I truly appreciate the accommodations. But I also feel like there were a lot of moments in my life that perfect strangers saw that I needed support.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is why you know, sometimes we don't get help in the place that we think that we're going to get it. And sometimes we don't get any help. But for me, like, it's just, it's normal to say I want to keep moving on.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the thing that I got to give myself, is that I just want to keep moving forward. I know that there's people in my life who are like, you're never satisfied. it could be true, but I think that I've had moments of satisfaction. So I really believe that it's normal for me. Like, two babies now is normal. Like, it's that's not like if I had one baby, I'd be like, what's this? This is like a break. What am I doing? I see so many things that we don't see in ourselves that deserve, you know, commendation. And if, you know, I was speaking at U of C, I said I'm unremarkable, but I really feel like that's just because you don't have to have anything specifically special to want to go and be the best at whatever you are. But I think that's what the special is. Like, you are just special. So we're all special. Do you know? It kind of sounds like everybody gets a ribbon, but it's not. It's really like there's something in you that's different from me, and that's important. And it doesn't have to be huge. Watch me as I love giantism, but it doesn't have to be particularly small either. It doesn't have to be any kind of way for us to really use that to motivate ourselves. And it doesn't, what I have, nobody else is going to have. From the time I was very small, I've been saying that because really, let's be honest, what did I have that anybody else had? I was selling myself.
Well, I think it's that unique combination that you bring from the outside, which is where you can attract that shock factor, if you like, right. And then the opportunity to leverage that so that other people see beyond the the tall dark lady who's got incredible fashion sense and does modeling and all of those other pieces and comedy, to understand more about the resilient person that you've evolved into. And it is about showing up authentically so that you can educate others on some of these feminist intersectional issues and still be a little bit of a badass at the same time and funny about it. And, really bring that whole massive personality to share with the world. So it's been an awesome time talking. I'm going to just go to a quick break before we start to wrap up. I had one final clip for the book, and then I know you have something to offer to the listeners as well. So let's just do that third clip, and then we'll wrap things up.
I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power. Add words that energize and invigorate and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.
And I do have people wanting to order for Mother's Day, which is great. I've also been asked, where am I going to have some books at a live event coming up? So the next one of my next live events is actually May 23rd, and I'm looking at my connections in the corporate arena, women leaders, HR leaders, who are interested to learn how bold women leaders foster innovation power for business sustainability in this economy that we have right now and springtime generating new growth. It's time for bold women leaders to grow in success, to grow in numbers, to make a bigger impact. So there's going to be a conversation. It's a morning brekkie session starting at breakfast session starting at 7:30, runs till 11, over breakfast at the Petroleum Club, looking at the advantages of women's leadership competencies, ways to leverage innovation power as a female leader, and increasing employee engagement and customer sales. And so that's going to be an interesting session. There's more details, the link on my website, wordswomenandwisdom.com, and on the event page, or news page, actually, it's a link to learn more about that, and it is on Eventbrite as well. So if people want to get a copy of your book, which sounds amazing, what did you want to offer in the last couple of minutes that we have, Adora?
Yeah, I want to offer my book to whomever needs one for themselves and one to give away. Two books for $30. They usually are $20 each book.
How do they order them?
And you can order them. You can go to my Instagram and send me a message there, or you can send me a message directly to my Gmail, which is my name, adora104@gmail.com. If you go to either my Instagram or my Facebook, you'll be able to find out how to spell that correctly.
Well, most people listen
here than it sounds.
Most people listening have either received an email announcement from me, seen this on LinkedIn or Facebook. So A-D-O-R-A and N-W-O-F-O-R is the correct spelling if you didn't have that already. And it's been lovely speaking with you. So grateful for the work that you're doing for women in particular, and also keeping the humorous side of life in perspective, drawing on some of the most resilient lessons that you've learned in life. So thank you so much for joining me today. And any final words as we wrap up?
I truly just want to thank you for having me and for all of your words, because it's not one or two or ten of us who are going to do this. There are millions of us who are doing our own little part, and we're going to change the world. And I can't wait to see what happens and to high five, you know, as many people as I can who help make that change.
Yeah. Well, you're right. And certainly if women can have different ways to elevate their confidence, my passion is words, obviously. And if there's different ways that we can do it and both be contributing to elevating the power of women, then I think our job is done. So thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you again in person really soon. Thanks, Adora.
Take care.
Bye for now.